Live from historic downtown Carlisle, Pennsylvania, home of founding father James Wilson, 19th century hymn writer George Duffield, 19th century gospel minister George Norcross, and sports legend Jim Thorpe. It's Iron Sharpens Iron. This is a radio platform in which pastors, Christian scholars, and theologians address the burning issues facing the church and the world today. Proverbs chapter 27, verse 17 tells us iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Matthew Henry said that in this passage, we are cautioned to take heed with whom we converse and directed to have in view in conversation to make one another wiser and better. It is our hope that this goal will be accomplished over the next 2 hours, and we hope to hear from you, the listener, with your own questions. And now here's your host, Chris Arnson.
Good afternoon, Cumberland County, Pennsylvania, Lake City, Florida, and the rest of humanity living on the planet Earth who are listening via live streaming at ironsharpensironradio.com. This is Chris Arnson, your host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, wishing you all a happy Tuesday on this 18th day of February 2025. Before I introduce my guest and our topic for the day, I want to remind our listeners not only to continue praying for my sister Mary, who is in her 70s and had her leg amputated last week. She is recovering, as I've mentioned on the air and in social media, at a rehabilitation facility, learning how to spend the rest of her life with one leg. So please continue to pray for her, not only physically, but mentally and spiritually, and that the Lord would use this trial in her life to draw her closer to himself. Also, I added to that prayer request something that's more urgent. Yesterday, I announced this for the first time on the show, I believe. Yes, I did announce it yesterday for the first time because I only found out the day before, which was Sunday. My brother, who has been living for years in a local nursing home ever since he was paralyzed on the entire left side of his body after a massive stroke, he was rushed to the hospital from his nursing home because of dangerously low oxygen levels. And he has an aspiration problem where debris collects in his lungs, which radically increases the chances of getting pneumonia, which could be fatal. Well, my brother is on a ventilator right now. He is sedated and unconscious. He was in critical condition, but I was told he has since been brought to a stable condition, and they told me they were going to contact me the moment anything negative, if anything negative, were to develop. So I hope I don't get a call even during this program today, because I'm going to have to take it, even if briefly, to return later to the live discussion. But please pray for my brother Andy Arnson, also in his 70s, and that this trial would also be used in his life to draw him closer to the Lord. My brother has made a profession of faith for decades, but it's always been suspect. The credibility of his profession never has sat well with me, due to the way that before he was hospitalized, the way that he was living, while at the same time professing to be a born-again believer. So please pray that the Lord does a genuine work of salvation in his heart, and that I would see the fruits of that salvation and be able to rest in the knowledge that no matter what happens to him, if the Lord were to take him, that he would be in eternity with Christ. So I appreciate those prayers. And, of course, continue to pray for me as I continue to recuperate from congestive heart failure. Right now, I am feeling no symptoms whatsoever, no longer out of breath easily as I was. My appetite that had been destroyed by the congestive heart failure, almost completely removing my desire to eat, is gone. I am eating normally now. So I have everything to be thrilled about in this regard, but my blood tests are not 100% where they should be. I have a blood clot in my heart and in my lung, and the medication I'm on is supposed to dissolve these clots, and my doctor is not 100% pleased with the blood test, so he keeps adjusting the dosages of medications I'm taking. So please pray that that I hear a much better praise report the next time I'm in his office, and that we are on the right track with the medication, or that the Lord just miraculously heals me. But I am thrilled to have an old friend of mine on the program. I've been interviewing this dear brother ever since I launched Iron Sharpens Iron Radio in 2005 out of WNYG Radio in West Babylon, Long Island, New York. His name is Dr. John M. Otis. And he has been a very important friend in my life. I will never forget that he and his late wife, Christine, made a very long drive to visit me in Boone, North Carolina, when I was graduating, as they called it, from an alcohol rehab ministry that I had checked myself into during a backslidden state in my life when I was sadly, after 18 years of sobriety, had returned to habitual and scandalous levels of drunkenness. And thank God, I have never even had an urge to drink ever since leaving that wonderful ministry in Boone, North Carolina. Well, John and his lovely late wife, Christine, made the trip there to be present. The only people that I know personally that were there, other than those that I got to know while being there. That will always occupy a big place in my heart for this dear brother in Christ. He is a retired pastor, and he's also a published author, and he is now involved in an open-air evangelism ministry called Triumphant Ministries. And it's primarily going to be taking place on the campus of the University of Georgia in Athens. And today we're going to be talking about the theme of John's new book, When Heaven Seems Silent, Trusting in God's Unfailing Promises. And it's my honor and privilege to welcome you back to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, John Otis.
It is always great to be on your program, Chris. I will give a caveat. I'm not technically a doctor unless you conferred a doctorate on me just a few minutes ago.
Well, as soon as those words came out of my mouth, I realized I don't think John's a doctor. But
I have written enough books to be a doctor, but yes, technically.
Yes. Well, that shows you the high esteem with which I hold you, because you're certainly brilliant enough to be the recipient of a PhD or other doctorate. And I'm honored to know you and to have benefited richly from your own knowledge and wisdom in ministry. Well, first of all, before we get into the theme, tell us more about your new open-air evangelism ministry, Triumphant Ministries.
Well, for the last several years, even before the Lord took my precious wife to glory, I began to pray and to realize in the 40-some years of my ministry, pastoral ministry, and writing quite a few books, which you can reach people, the Lord was burdening me with the fact I've never really devoted myself to reaching those who reside in darkness under the shadow of death. And that burden continued to grow. And I began to pray, Lord, I'm 73 years of age. And I said, I don't know how many years that you have ordained for me on this earth, but I want to devote the rest of my life, whatever those years, to being used of you, to be a fisher of men, to bring those out of darkness into light, to be that mechanism through the preaching of the gospel. And after my wife died in May of this past year, 2024, that burden began to grow even more so. And so that began to, the Lord saved me in a campus ministry when I was 18 years of age. And then I was nurtured in a parachurch organization called the Navigators for 4 years that God eventually used in my life. And so I've been attracted. I realized that college students are very malleable. They can be easily manipulated, as we can bear testimony on our college campuses today. So there's a great need. And at that period of life, you make decisions oftentimes that will direct you the rest of your life as a vocation or whatever, future spouse and that. So the Lord has laid on my heart to primarily, maybe not exclusively on that particular campus, but primarily on that campus. So I just wanted to dedicate myself to that. We are just beginning this, and I have scouted out the campus, and where places are that you can do that, where students are gathered. So we're looking, we're excited about it. I've got a group of godly Christian men and women who said they will pray for me. And I have always indicated I'm a firm believer in the power of prayer. And let me just mention in that regard, a passage that changed my whole view years ago, Chris, on missions is Romans chapter 15, verse 30, where Paul's writing there and he says, I urge you, brethren, to pray, to strive together with me in your prayers to God for me. And he was getting ready to go to Jerusalem, and he was longing to come to Rome. And we can see the answer to that prayer. He will go to Jerusalem. He'll be arrested by the Romans who spared his life. He'll petition to go to Caesar since he was a Roman citizen. And he ended up going to Rome in a way that he had never imagined. But God was orchestrating that whole thing because we know from the scriptures he was under house arrest for at least 2 years. And can you imagine what would be the impact of those Roman soldiers who had close contact with the Apostle Paul? Well, we know from Philippians chapter 1 that Paul says the gospel has even reached the household of Caesar. Amen. So God, they answer those prayers. So I'm excited about what the Lord has in mind, and I believe that I'm in the process. I've got several men. I can always use benefactors to help in this ministry. So those who feel led of the Lord to want to contribute to this ministry would be more than welcome. But I'm excited about the Lord's prospects. I believe that the Lord, if we believe in him to do great things, he will do so. Let me just mention in that regard to evangelism, my favorite preacher probably in history is George Whitefield, which you're probably familiar with as well.
Oh, yeah. I came to the doctrines of grace when I was a new believer. I was vehemently opposed to everything I was hearing about Calvinism in this Reformed Baptist Church where I had newly become a member, and they agreed to tolerate me. They didn't say it that way, but they welcomed me joyfully into membership as long as I had promised that I wouldn't seek to undermine the teaching there, and that I was willing to be patient and, God willing, grow in my understanding of the scriptures in these areas. And someone in the church, Nigel Stone from England, who's now in heaven, he approached me and said, "I understand you're having difficulty understanding the doctrines of sovereign grace and election. Well, read this." And he gave me a booklet, George Whitfield's Letter to John Wesley on Election, published by Chapel Library. I read it. My first reaction was, "Oh no, this is true, but I still hate it." But then, I think less than 2 months, I fell in love, madly in love with these doctrines, and have been joyfully proclaiming them ever since. I didn't even know who George Whitfield was at the time, so it wasn't George Whitfield that really the Lord used to convert me. It was the scriptures that Whitfield presented to John Wesley. And I didn't know who John Wesley was either at that time. But I later would do research on Whitfield and read more of what he wrote and more of what people wrote about him, like Dalimore and so forth. And I just fell in love with him as a hero of the faith.
Yeah, the thing that I was going to mention there is, in terms of prayer, it was January the 1st, 1739, and there was a meeting with the Wesleys, and there's it was a Moravian love feast. Whitfield talks about how the presence of God was overwhelming that evening, and they prayed to 3 o'clock in the morning, and he said, "We went out believing that God was going to do something wonderful." And then on February the 15th, 1739, in Bristol, England, he, on the coldest day in known history of England, he began his open-air preaching, and the world has never been the same. But it began with prayer and another. So I'm always in the process of getting people who, "Well, we'll pray for you, John." So I'm looking for people who take it very seriously.
Mm-hmm.
So that passage in Romans 15:30 that I mentioned, that word there in English, strive together, the Greek word is soon, agonizomai. It's a combination of the preposition soon, meaning with, and agonizomai. And I said, does anybody know an English word that's similar to agonizomai?
Agonize.
Agonize. That is actually, that Greek word is where our English word agonize comes from.
Right.
It's a word used with the prevailing. So what Paul, the reason that changed my life, Paul says, "I want you to agonize together with me in your prayers to God for me," so that sometimes people, Chris, think, "Well, nothing else I can do but pray." That's the most important thing to begin with. And what Paul is saying is those who agonize with him in his ministry are really and truly, on a spiritual sense, there on that field of battle, helping those to come out of darkness into light. So I've got people praying. I have a godly sister-in-law, my oldest brother's wife, who's is a great woman of faith. She says, "John, I'm going to believe that God is going to bring about a revival." I said, "Well, you keep praying that way." And so, and another passage real quick, and we'll get into the topic of the day, is Isaiah 62, 6 and 7, where it says, "On your walls, O Jerusalem, I've appointed watchmen who cry all day and all night, and you remind the Lord, give yourselves no rest and give him, that is God, no rest until he makes Jerusalem a praise in the earth. And you talk about persevering in prayer. What God is saying, he's inviting us, see if you can wear me out by praying for the victory on earth. So I want people who will say, we will pray for you, John. And I believe as they pray, we're going to see wonderful things happen.
Yeah, my pastor, Simon O'Manny, at Trinity Reformed Baptist Church of Carlisle, Pennsylvania, just preached recently on persevering in prayer. Common thing that we may hear from our brethren who do not share our Reformed faith, if they were hearing you today, they might say something like, well, this guy certainly doesn't sound like a Calvinist. But this comes from a false and slanderous stereotype of what Calvinism actually is and what it always has been in its authentic form, and which is another thing proven by the fact of the very ministry that you have launched, the Triumphant Ministries, this open-air evangelism ministry. There are who knows how many countless deceived people who just don't believe Calvinists are ever engaged in that kind of thing. And of course, many Calvinists aren't, but many Arminians aren't either. there are multitudes of Arminians or non-Calvinists who, through sheer laziness or apprehension and fear of being embarrassed or being hated, do not involve themselves in evangelism. So for them to point the finger at Reformed folk as if we corner the market on apathy in evangelism is ridiculous. But we should have every more reason to be zealous in evangelism, because we know for certain that the word of God shall not return void, and we know that we have that he has an elect people out there. His sheep will hear his voice because he knows them and they will follow him. We know that as a fact, a promised fact.
You know, one of the great verses in the scripture that I've always referred to is Acts 13:48, when Paul's told the apostate Jews, all right, we're leaving you, we're going to go to the Gentiles, who gladly were willing there in Acts 13 to hear him preach. Paul says, as many as were ordained to eternal life believed.
Yep.
And the gospel, Whitfield referred to himself, even though he stayed in the Church of England, he referred to himself as a Calvinistic Methodist. And he, as you said, it was clearly in his preaching. One of my favorite heroes in the 19th century in America is Daniel Baker. I don't know if you're familiar with him. There's a wonderful book, a biography by his son. It's partly biographical, autobiographical. He was from the mid-19th century. He was a tremendous preacher, tremendous evangelist as well, and he was a thoroughgoing Calvinist.
I've got to look him up because I've never heard of him. Daniel Barker?
No, Daniel Baker.
Oh, Baker.
And the book, Baker, B-A-K.
Yeah, never heard of him.
And look him up. One of the greatest revivals at the College of New Jersey happened. I won't go into that. It'll thrill you. The book, I think, is Making Hearts Glad. I think something like that. You got to read that book, Chris. It's magnificent.
Did the College of New Jersey eventually become Princeton?
Yes.
Okay.
But one of the great revivals in American history began, and I'll just say this briefly. By the time he was a student there, he said it was about 130 students. He said that there was only four of us that took the faith seriously. And they were praying for their student body for a year. And in this book, he talks about, he says, we were about to throw in the towel because nothing was happening.
Wow.
And then in 1814, President James Madison called for a national day of fasting and repentance because they were right in the midst of the War of 1812. And so they called the classes off that day. So Baker and his buddies said, well, let's go talk to our students. And boom, that's when it happened. One notable student came to Christ, and it led to another and to another. The president of the college says, it was an amazing thing. Baker says, I believe that one third of the student body was soundly converted, and all the preachers that came out of it. And then he mentioned that the British press said that the greatest divine living was at the College of New Jersey. That got my interest up. So I did some research, and I believe about 99%. Charles Hodge, you know Charles Hodge?
Yes.
Systematic theology. He was there during that time, and I believe that's who, that greatest divine. So it started in the prayer meeting, and it led to one of the great revival stories in American history. And Baker, I'm telling you, a familiar heart. So, yeah.
Praise God. I want to go to my first commercial break right now before we dive into the actual theme at hand, which is the theme.
All right.
Which is the theme of your new book, When Heaven Seems Silent, Trusting in God's Unfailing Promises. And if anybody has any questions, you can submit them to chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. As always, give us your first name, at least your city and state of residence and your country of residence if you live outside the USA. And please only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. And this is the kind of topic that lends itself to personal and private questions, because the book, obviously, as the title reveals, is an effort to bring encouragement and comfort to those agonizing over people in all kinds of trials in life, coming to the wrong conclusion that God does not hear them because heaven seems silent. And so obviously there may be folks out there with private questions and you want to remain anonymous. That is completely fine. But if it's just a general question on what the scriptures have to say about this issue, please give us your first name, at least city and state, and country of residence. And by the way, I am going to email to you, John, so you can have it during the break, a question that has already come in from Anthony in Houston, Georgia. It is so long of a question that I thought that it might be best for you to have it in writing right in front of you. So I'm gonna email this to you, and you can look it over during the station break.
By the way, Houston is 6 miles from me.
Really? Well, that may be why this listener wants to be involved in your open air evangelism ministry.
Okay.
Now, how did you pronounce it? Because I've been calling it Houston for years. And nobody's corrected.
They pronounce it Houston, like hush, Houston.
Houston. Okay. Well, now I know. And Anthony, you have never corrected me, so shame on you. but he's been listening to this program and has submitted many questions over the years. So I'm going to be sending this to you. Also, I want to give everybody listening, since I mentioned the Christian addiction recovery ministry, since I mentioned that as a part of my own testimony of coming to sobriety, I want to make sure that our listeners know the name of that wonderful ministry. It is Hebron Colony, and the website is hebroncolony.org. It's in Boone, North Carolina, and it is absolutely free of charge. It's the oldest continuously running addiction recovery ministry for men in the United States, and I have nothing but praise reports about that wonderful place. And they do have a sister ministry in Santee, South Carolina for women called Grace Home. But you can find out about both of those ministries at hebroncolony.org, hebroncolony.org. So once again, if you have a question for John Otis, our email address is chrisarnson@gmail.com. Give us your first name, at least, city and state of residence, and country of residence. If you live outside the USA, and you may remain anonymous for personal and private questions. And now we're going to hear a word from our newest sponsor of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, Lebanon Federal Credit Union in Carlisle, Pennsylvania.
Daniel Wolford, CEO and President of Lebanon Federal Credit Union, and we're excited to be part of the Iron Sharpens Iron radio family. At Lebanon Federal Credit Union, we're proud to serve the community with 6 convenient locations across Lebanon County, Pennsylvania, and we're growing. We offer competitive rates on everything from loans to savings, and we're dedicated to providing top-notch member service. We pride ourselves on the credit union movement of people helping people. We are deeply involved in our community, supporting local events and organizations that help make a difference. When you join Lebanon Federal Credit Union, you'll immediately notice the difference. Our focus on meeting your financial needs with personal care and a friendly touch. LFCU can also offer you better rates and lower fees than our competitors. To find out more, please visit us online at lebanonfcu.org. Membership eligibility is required, federally insured by the National Credit Union Administration. Terms and conditions apply.
Greetings, this is Brian McLaughlin, president of the SecureCom Group and supporter of Chris Arnzen's Iron Sharpens Iron radio program. SecureCom provides the highest level of security systems for residential buildings, municipalities, churches, commercial properties, and much more. We can be reached at SecureComGroup.com. That's SecureComGroup.com. But today, I want to introduce you to my senior pastor, Doug McMasters, of New Hyde Park Baptist Church on Long Island.
Doug McMasters here, former director of pastoral correspondence at Grace to You, the radio ministry of John MacArthur. In the film Chariots of Fire, the Olympic gold medalist runner Eric Liddell remarked that he felt God's pleasure when he ran. He knew his efforts sprang from the gifts and calling of God. I sense that same God-given pleasure when ministering the word and helping others gain a deeper knowledge and love for God. That love starts with the wonderful news that the Lord Jesus Christ is a Savior who died for sinners, and that God forgives all who come to Him in repentance, trusting solely in Christ to deliver them. I would be delighted to have the honor and privilege of ministering to you if you live in the Long Island area or Queens or Brooklyn or the Bronx in New York City. For details on New Hyde Park Baptist Church, visit nhpbc.com. That's nhpbc.com. You can also call us at 516-352-9672. That's 516-352-9672. That's New Hyde Park Baptist Church, a congregation in love with each other, passionate for Christ, committed to learning and being shaped by God's word, and delighting in the gospel of God's sovereign grace.
Iron Sharpens Iron Radio praise God for the generous monthly financial support of Royal Diadem Jewelers, educated by and affiliated with the American Gem Society, Jewelers of America, and the Gemological Institute of America. For the perfect custom-designed engagement ring or any one-of-a-kind piece of jewelry created exactly according to your imagination and specifications, Royal Diadem Jewelers has you covered. No matter where you live in the world, Royal Diadem will walk you step-by-step through every stage of the process and even hold a high-tech internet virtual visit using state-of-the-art jewelry design technology to serve you. They start by listening carefully to determine your needs. They're interested in making what you want, not what they want to sell you. From rough design to digital model, to photorealistic image, to wax prototype model, to the finished product, they are continually listening to your input, likes and dislikes, making any changes necessary along the way. This will ensure that your custom jewelry will turn out exactly as you dreamed and well beyond your expectations. Visit royaldiadem.com. That's royaldiadem.com today. Sterling Vanderwerker, owner of Royal Diadem Jewelers, his wife Bronnie, his business partner and manager Brian Wilson, and the entire family thank you all for listening to, praying for, and supporting the work of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And don't forget, Mom, for Mother's Day, you have plenty of time to purchase a stunning, mind-blowing, head-turning, breathtaking piece of jewelry from royaldiadem.com for Mom, since Mother's Day is not so close that you wouldn't have time to even get a one-of-a-kind, customized piece of jewelry created just for Mom, a piece of jewelry that nobody on the planet Earth has but her. And there is an added mind-blowing bonus to this. If you purchase jewelry from royaldiadem.com and mention Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, we get 100% of the profits from the sale. So please go to royaldiadem.com today, either to purchase something that they already have in stock or to have a one-of-a-kind customized piece of jewelry created. royaldiadem.com, royaldiadem.com, and do not forget to mention Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. We're now back with John Otis, an old friend of mine who is a retired pastor, and he is also a published author, and who has just launched an open-air evangelism ministry called Triumphant Ministries, which is primarily going to be taking place on the campus of the University of Georgia in Athens. And if you have a question about his book, When Heaven Seems Silent, Trusting in God's Promises, Trusting in God's Unfailing Promises, a very important word there I left out. You can send an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com. chrisarnson@gmail.com. Give us your first name, at least, city and state and country of residence, and you may remain anonymous if the question is personal and private. Before we go to Anthony in Houston, Georgia's, did I say it right? Houston?
That's pretty close.
But not quite right. Okay. Well, anyway, before we go to Anthony's question, Anthony in Houston, Georgia, I'd like you to go into the background of this book and what were the compelling factors that led you to write it. I'm wondering if it had anything to do with the illness of your precious late wife, Christine.
Well, a major part of the reason for the book is that back in 2022, my wife was fine, and she all of a sudden began to experience leg issues that began to get worse and worse, and went to doctors, and no one could figure out what was going on. This went on for about 8 or 9 months. After 14 MRIs, 2 neurologists, 2 neurosurgeons, no one could ever figure out, we don't know why you can't, you're having difficulty walking. She ended up in a wheelchair, tried rehab, and then in October of 2023, we were praying, and simultaneously, let me just mention, with her illness, I began to experience, for many years, the work that I've been engaged in, I've often had to do supplement, like tent making, but not tents like Paul, but painting houses. And that has been a major part of my income for my family for many years. Well, all of a sudden, I went from the best year ever in 35 years to a 7-month lull, which I cannot explain. I did nothing different. So here my wife ends up in a wheelchair. I'm experiencing a real downturn of my painting business. And then simultaneous with that, and I don't need to go into the detail, some ministerial issues that basically broke my heart. And so all of this was coming at the same time. And my wife and I, we felt like Job, but has nothing of the magnitude, of course, of Job, but it was one successive affliction upon another. And then in January of this past year, 2024, she was diagnosed with cervical cancer. And everything we tried to do, we had some alternative ways to try to deal with that. It was very aggressive. And then the Lord took her in the day before my birthday, my 73rd birthday, wow, the day after Mother's Day, and took her to glory. And Chris, the Lord was very gracious to us. And my wife has always been a great godly woman, greatly instrumental in my ministry. She's the one that learned to typeset professional back in the early 2000s. She's the one that typeset all my books. She's the one that created all my websites for Triumph Publications and the Good Moves Bible series that we have going. And she was the one that figured out how to take these free Bible courses online to the world. So she did all of that. And back in October, before she was diagnosed with cancer, and we always have devotions. And one day I said to her, I said, my dear, one of the precious verses in all of Scripture is Romans 8:28. All things work together for good to those who love God and are called according to his purpose. I said, my dear, I wish I could tell you what the good is going to come from all of this, but I can't because I don't know. But I will tell you this, there is a great good coming because God has promised it, and that's all we need to know. And she had this big smile on her face and nodded in agreement. Chris, anybody? Yeah, she was. It bothered her of all these afflictions, but she never complained spiritually. Okay. Anybody that came to visit us, and the pastor of our church, he was a wonderful pastor, Chris Strievel, may have been on your program before, but he said, if you go see Christine Otis, you're always going to find a smiling face. And that was true. Godly women that came over to visit her, one elder's wife says, we didn't know what after she was diagnosed with cancer, we didn't know what condition we were going to find her, if she was going to be upset. He said, that's not what we saw. We saw a great woman of faith who trusted in the Lord. And so after the Lord took her, I thought, I didn't complain either. I understood. And one of the things about afflictions, Chris, is that it's not a matter of if they're going to come, it's just when they're going to come. And we're all going to experience something, just as you've experienced with your brother and your sister and others. And with this, we got to recognize that God is the ultimate source. If we really understand the sovereignty of God, then he's brought these things. He's brought them into our lives for a purpose. And so there's a great passage, which is the thesis of my book. And that passage is in 2 Corinthians 1, verses 3 through 5. It says, blessed be the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all of our afflictions, so that we will be able to comfort others in all of their afflictions with the comfort by which we have been comforted. And so it is on that basis that the Lord saw us through this. We gained the victory in the sense that we knew that God was behind all of it. It was for his glory. It was for our benefit. It was to build character in us. And I told the pastor one day, I said, if I ever catch myself wanting to complain about something, I immediately stop myself and say, hold on, John, you can't complain, because if I complain, who am I really complaining against? A sovereign God. And who am I to complain against my Lord? So that puts me back in place real fast. And so in the sense that we know there are a lot of people that go through things like this, and they have a real difficult time handling it. And we want to be able to convey in this book how you can have the victory.
You know,
you can have the victory. Go ahead.
No. Well, you could finish your thought if you'd like.
Well, I gave you the main thesis, and that the victory ultimately is in the subtitle, trusting in God's unfailing promises. And when we believe the word of God at face value, and you look at all the promises that are even associated with affliction, then we come to understand God's purpose in it. And when you trust in his promises, you can get through any affliction. I mean, any affliction. And that's what we want to convey, those biblical principles.
I just recently got the book, so I haven't had time to read it, but I'm assuming you did not delve heavily, or perhaps at all, into the heresies of the Word of Faith movement. But I think that it is important to bring up, because it is such a rampant heresy, where people are being taught that if your faith is strong enough, you will have the prayers of your heart answered in the way that you want them to be answered, no matter what. And if they aren't answered, if you're not healed physically, and if you're not restored financially and enriched financially, it's because you have something lacking within your faith. I could even remember when I worked for a Salem Media affiliate, WMCA, in New York. I was there for 15 years and as an account executive. And there was a couple, Clinton and Sarah Utterbach, who were Word of Faith heretics on the station. And the aforementioned Nigel Stone, that British gentleman who gave me the booklet, George Whitfield's letter to John Wesley, an election. He used to call them the utter rots, you know, instead of the utter box. But I can remember Sarah Utterbach having the audacity to state that when Job, after having all the calamities that God allowed Satan to bring into his life, the loss of not only property, but also the boils and all these calamities, the loss of children, the loss of everything, and then having his wife curse him. Why don't you just curse God and die? When Job said, "The Lord gave and the Lord has taken away, blessed be the name of the Lord," Sarah Utterbach said, "Now that was heresy." And in fact, which is insane, because the scriptures say, "And in all this Job did not sin."
Right. Well, the answer that I do not delve in depth at all with that, but you're correct. That mentality is theologically wanting, and we have no guarantee in the scriptures with regard to physical ailments. I've seen some amazing things happen, but there's no guarantee in that way. The guarantee that we have is that he will see us through it. He will give us the peace that passes all understanding through the afflictions. And that's one of the main purposes of affliction. For example, building character is one of the great purposes of God's bringing these afflictions in our life. And one of the passages that is central in that is James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4. And I've used the New American Standard Bible. And it says, "Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. And let patience have its perfect result, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing." And so God will bring these things into our lives for that purpose. And yes, Job is a great example of someone. God, and we know that, as you rightly said, God is the source. Even Job understood that. He says, "Thine arrows are in me." Job understood that God had brought those. He had no idea behind the scenes the interaction between God and Satan. And so he rightly said, "God has given and he's taken away." And all of those afflictions were brought for a purpose in his life. And somebody might say, "You mean to tell me, no matter what the affliction, John, that we are to be joyful in it as a Christian?" I go, "Absolutely, because that's exactly what the Word of God says." Well, how can I be joyful under intense suffering?
In fact, we've got to pick up at that poignant point. How can we be joyful amidst intense suffering? We have to go to our midway break. And if anybody wants to join us, our email address is chrisarnson@gmail.com. chrisarnson@gmail.com. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
I'm Dr. Joseph Piper, President Emeritus and Professor of Systematic and Applied Theology at Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary. Every Christian who's serious about the Reformed faith and the Westminster Standards should have and use the 8-volume commentary on the theology and ethics of the Westminster Larger Catechism titled Authentic Christianity by Dr. Joseph Moorcraft. It is much more than an exposition of the Larger Catechism. It is a thoroughly researched work that utilizes biblical exegesis as well as historical and systematic theology. Dr. Moorcraft is pastor of Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, And I urge everyone looking for a biblically faithful church in that area to visit that fine congregation. For details on the 8-volume commentary, go to westminstercommentary.com, westminstercommentary.com. For details on Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, visit heritagepresbyterianchurch.com, heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. Please tell Dr. Moorcraft and the saints at Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, that Dr. Joseph Piper of Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary sent you.
Hello, my name is Anthony Uvinio, and I'm one of the pastors at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Quorum, New York, and also the host of the ReformRookie.com website. I want you to know that if you enjoy listening to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio show like I do, you can now find it on the Apple's iTunes app by typing Iron Sharpens Iron Radio in the search bar. You no longer have to worry about missing a show or a special guest because you're in your car or still at work. Just subscribe on the iTunes app and listen to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio show at any time, day or night. Please be sure to also give it a good review and pass it along to anyone who would benefit from the teaching and the many solidly reformed guests that Chris Arnson has on the show. Truth is so hard to come by these days, so don't waste your time with fluff or fake news. Subscribe to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio podcast right now. And while you're at it, you can also sign up for the ReformRookie.com podcast and visit our website and the YouTube page. We are dedicated to teaching Christian theology from a Reformed Baptist perspective to beginners in the faith as well as seasoned believers. From Keach's Catechism and the Doctrines of Grace to the Olivet Discourse and the Book of Leviticus, the Reform Rookie podcast and YouTube channel is sure to have something to offer everyone seeking biblical truth. And finally, if you're looking to worship in a Reformed church that holds to the 1689 London Baptist Confession of Faith, please join us at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Quorum, New York. Again, I'm Pastor Anthony Uvinio, and thanks for listening.
If you love Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, one of the best ways you can help keep the show on the air is by supporting our advertisers. One such faithful advertiser who really believes in what Chris Arnson is doing is Daniel P. Puttafuoco, serious injury lawyer and Christian apologist. Dan is the president and founder of the Historical Bible Society. Their mission? To foster belief in the credibility of Scripture as the written Word of God. They go to various churches, schools, and institutions to publicly display a rare collection of biblical texts, along with a fascinating presentation by Mr. Buttafuoco demonstrating the reliability of Scripture. To advance the cause of the gospel, they created a beautiful, perfect facsimile of the genealogy of Jesus Christ from the original engravings contained in a first edition 1611 King James Bible. This 17th century hand-engraved chart shows the family tree of Jesus Christ going back to Adam and Eve. This book is complete with gorgeous full-size illustrations of Noah's Ark and the Tower of Babel, and an explanation of why the genealogy of Jesus is so important for his claims to the throne of the universe. Originals of this work are in museums, and nobody has ever made it accessible to the public in a large book form before. You can have your own copy of this 44-page genealogy book for a donation of $35 or more. Visit historicalbiblesociety.org. That's historicalbiblesociety.org. Thanks for helping to keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air.
I'm Simon O'Mahony, pastor of Trinity Reformed Baptist Church in Carlisle, Pennsylvania. Originally from Cork, Ireland, the Lord in his sovereign providence has called me to shepherd this new and growing congregation here in Cumberland County. At TRBC, we joyfully uphold the Second London Baptist Confession, we embrace congregational church government, and we are committed to preaching the full counsel of God's Word for the edification of believers, the salvation of the lost, and the glory of our triune God. We are also devoted to living out the one another commands of Scripture, loving, encouraging, and serving each other as the body of Christ. In our worship, we sing psalms and the great hymns of the faith, and we gather around the Lord's table every Sunday. We would love for you to visit and worship with us. You can find our details at trbccarlisle.org. That's trbccarlisle.org. God willing, we'll see you soon.
This is Pastor Bill Sasso, Grace Church at Franklin, here in the beautiful state of Tennessee. Our congregation is one of a growing number of churches who love and support Iron Sharpens Iron Radio financially. Grace Church at Franklin is an independent, autonomous body of believers which strives to clearly declare the whole counsel of God as revealed in Scripture through the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, the end for which we strive is the glory of God. If you live near Franklin, Tennessee, and Franklin is just south of Nashville, maybe 10 minutes, or you are visiting this area, or you have friends and loved ones nearby, we hope you will join us some Lord's Day in worshiping our God and Savior. Please feel free to contact me if you have more questions about Grace Church at Franklin. Our website is gracechurchatfranklin.org. That's gracechurchatfranklin.org. This is Pastor Bill Sasso wishing you all the richest blessings of our sovereign Lord, God, Savior, and King Jesus Christ, today and always.
Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005. The publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Dr. Joseph Piper, President and Professor of Systematic and Homiletical Theology at Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary in Taylor, South Carolina. And the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Chuck White at the First Trinity Lutheran Church in Tonawanda, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Anthony Mathenia of Christ Church in Radford, Virginia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jesse Miller of Damascus Road Christian Church in Gardnerville, Nevada, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Bruce Bennett of Word of Truth Church in Farmingville, Long Island, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Rodney Brown of Metro Bible Church in Southlake, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jim Harrison of Red Mills Baptist Church in Mayapack Falls, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
Puritan Reformed is a Bible-believing, kingdom-building, devil-fighting church. We're devoted to upholding the apostolic doctrine and practice preserved in Scripture alone. Puritan Reformed teaches men to rule and lead as image-bearing prophets, priests, and kings. We teach families to worship together as families. Puritan is committed to teaching the whole counsel of God so that the earth will be filled with the knowledge of God as the waters cover the sea. We sing the Psalms, teach the law, proclaim the gospel, make disciples, maintain discipline, and exalt Christ. This is Pastor David Reese of Puritan Reformed in Phoenix, Arizona. Join us in the glorious cause of advancing Christ's crown and covenant over the kings of the earth. Puritan Reformed Church. Believe, build, fight. PuritanPHX.com.
I'm Pastor Bill Shishko of The Haven, an Orthodox Presbyterian church in Commack, Long Island. I hold the Iron Sharpens Iron radio program hosted by my longtime friend and brother Chris Arnzen in the highest esteem, and I'm thrilled that you're listening today. I'm also delighted that Iron Sharpens Iron is partnering with one of my favorite resources for Reformed Christian literature for decades now, Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. Well, with the economic nightmare that we're all currently enduring, CVBBS.com, I'm going to enable you to build a wonderful personal library of the best in literature that the Reformers, the Puritans, and the great Christian minds of today have to offer, and at affordable prices. Not only does CVBBS.com offer up to 50% off retail prices, but you'll get an added 5% off orders of $50 or more by using promo code IRON, I-R-O-N. An added 5% off all of your orders of $50 or more from Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. That's CVBBS.com, making the joy of reading the finest in Christian literature more affordable. Oh, and make sure that you tell them that you heard about them on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Welcome back. Before I return to John M. Otis and our discussion on his book, When Heaven Seems Silent, Trusting in God's Unfailing Promises, I have some important reminders for my listeners. Please, folks, if you really love this show and you don't want it to disappear from the airwaves, please go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. You can donate instantly with a debit or credit card in that fashion. If you prefer snail mail, mailing a physical check to a physical address from your post office, there will also be a physical address that appears on your screen when you click support at ironsharpensironradio.com, where you can mail your checks made payable to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. If you want to advertise with us, whether it's your church, parachurch, ministry, business, private professional practice, like a law firm or a medical firm, or perhaps you want to just advertise an event you're having, as long as whatever it is you want to advertise is compatible with my beliefs, I would love to help you launch an ad campaign quickly, because we're just as much in urgent need of your advertising dollars as we are in your donations. So send me an email to chrisarnzen@gmail.com and put advertising in the subject line. I also want to remind our listeners that I never want anybody in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience to cut into the finances they have set aside for giving to their own local church where they are a member in order to bless Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. In other words, never give your own church where you're a member less money than you normally give your church in order to bless us financially. And also, if you're really struggling to survive and make ends meet, wait until you're more financially stable and back on your feet before you send us a financial gift. The Bible's clear that we are primarily to use the money with which he has blessed us, which is still his money. We're primarily to use it to provide for church and family, and providing for Iron Sharpens Iron Radio is not a command of God. But if you are blessed financially above and beyond your ability to provide for church and family, and you have extra money for benevolent, recreational, and even trivial purposes, and you love the show, you don't want it to go away, please go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. Last but not least, if you're not a member of a Christ-honoring, biblically faithful, theologically sound, doctrinally solid church, no matter where in the world you live, I may have some recommendations for you near you, and I have helped many people all over the planet Earth find churches that are sound, sometimes even within just a two-minute drive from where they live. So I may be able to help you too, no matter where on the planet Earth you live. Send me an email to chrisarnzen@gmail.com and put, I need a church in the subject line. That's also the email address where you can submit your question to John Otis about his book, When Heaven Seems Silent, Trusting in God's Unfailing Promises. It's chrisarnson@gmail.com. Give us your first name, at least city and state and country of residence. And before we go to Anthony in Houston, Georgia's question, I wanted you to wrap up what you were saying before the break.
Yes, Chris, I was talking about that central passage in James where it talks about that we are to consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience, and let patience have its perfect result, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. So what we see in this text is that we are commanded to be joyful when we encounter afflictions. And that word there, consider, in the Greek language, is what we call a present imperative. In other words, it is a command. And being a present tense means we are to always, we are commanded to, by God, to continually be joyful in the midst of afflictions. Now, with regard to what joy is there, fundamentally, Christian joy is abiding in the Lord Jesus, in the power of the indwelling Holy Spirit, and biblical joy is a contentment with our present circumstances and a peace that all is well. And so the joyful person focuses upon who Jesus is, what he has done, and what he is doing for us. And biblical joy is rooted in a faith in God's precious promises. And so that Christian hope creates joy in our lives. So it may be hard for us to understand. You mean to tell me that we're, no matter what I'm experiencing? Well, that's what the Word of God says. And when we understand what its purpose, that we notice it produces patience. Well, the first thing it does, Chris, it drives you to your knees to pray. I don't think anybody that's ever had any afflictions, what does it do? It causes them to pray more. Well, that's what God wants. He wants us to seek his face. And then when we seek his face, then we understand, well, his purpose that we might be perfect. Well, that word perfect can be misleading. It doesn't mean that we're without sin. The word perfect oftentimes is used in the scripture. It means it's the word teleos. It means it's reached its goal. So that God's afflictions and the joyfulness accepting that, what that does, we recognize that that is building character. And what God wants is us to grow into the image of Christ. And so if we're a serious Christian, we should want to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. We should want to be sanctified as much as possible by the power of the Holy Spirit. And God will send those trials for that purpose. I refer to it in the book in several places that God is the master sculptor. And through trials, he's chiseling away at us, taking away that part that needs to be repented of, an attitude where we're not exercising the faith that we ought to have, and that he's chipping away till he gets that masterpiece. And what is that masterpiece? But growing into the image of Christ.
Hallelujah. Okay, we have a very long question, series of questions is a better way of putting it. Questions and comments by our longtime faithful listener, Anthony in Houston, Georgia, who's been listening since we first launched this program in 2005. He's submitted many questions over the years. And I say that as a preface because I don't want to encourage other listeners to write in very lengthy questions like this. But I trust Anthony, since I know him very well, having been given the pleasure of his loyal listenership and friendship over the years, that I know that he's going to be submitting something vital to introduce into the subject matter we are discussing. Okay, and I'm going to have to break this up, obviously, in segments because it's too long for you to answer all at once. And you do have a printed copy in front of you because I emailed it to you.
Right.
Would you say that it would be proper to include the certainty of the gospel of the kingdom going worldwide, that when we make a gospel presentation, such as that which you will be doing at the University of Georgia campus, that we hold out the promises for everyone believing? And I'm going to stop there and you can respond, and then I'll move on when you finish.
Right. I think his question more goes into my ministry at UGA rather than the book.
Well, he follows right on the tail of that with bringing in the
right
book.
Well, how I would respond to that is this, that when we make a gospel presentation, he says that you'll be doing, that we hold out the promises for everyone believing. I'll try to be as succinct in that part. And to say John 3:36, everyone who believes in the Son has eternal life. Everyone who does not obey the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides upon him. That when a person repents of their sins, you got to repent. I mean, you got to confess your sins, but repentance is more than simply acknowledging it. It is a serious determination to turn away from that sin. So we have to repent, and then we have to embrace the promise held out that you'll have eternal life. You believe in him. John 10:9-10 says, everyone who confesses that Jesus is Christ and believes that God has raised him from the dead shall be saved. And so the promise held out for belief is that we will have eternal life. We got to obey that offer of the gospel to us. So that's how I respond to the first part of that, Chris.
Okay, we move on to where he picks up from there. Let's see. That the heavens are not silent, but in fact God has ordained whatsoever comes to pass. In light of that truth, that those who are savingly and effectually called are indeed called for such a time as this. They need to be discipled and help local churches engage in standing for truth and regaining a voice here and now, as indicated in Hebrews 12:25-29. Do you care to comment on any of that before I move on?
Well, I think one thing when he says the heavens are not silent, the main emphasis when I said that the heavens are not silent is there's the tendency. I first came across that many years ago when I was a college student. I read a book, and the only thing I remember out of that great book by Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones called Spiritual Depression, Its Causes and Cure. It wasn't because I was depressed at the time. I was getting...
Are you still there, John? John, are you still there? John, you're breaking up for some reason. You may have to repeat everything you just said. Hello, John. Are you there? Well, we've lost John. So I'm going to are you there, John?
I am here.
Okay. Repeat everything you said because we lost you.
Okay. When he mentioned that heaven's silent, I mentioned heaven's not silent. Oh, wrote a book called Causes and Cure. And trials come into our life. Are like the clouds that up sun, and we not there that he has forsaken us, when in reality, no, the one who's called us, he's there and he loves us. Of tribulation are obscuring, and so by that, I think you're the one who wrote that a little bit different take on that. I fully, if a person believes in the Lord Jesus, they need to be savingly and effectually called.
John, can I ask you a question? Are you doing anything?
Still there, Chris?
Yes. Are you doing anything different? Because
no, I'm not.
And is your phone dying? Is there a phone call coming in? There's you keep breaking up.
No.
All right. Well, just pick up.
No, there isn't.
Okay, just pick up where you left off. Sorry.
And
well, yes, you keep breaking up. Hello, John.
I don't know why I'm breaking. Should I re-enter?
Rejoin the discussion. I'm going to go to our final break early, and when you rejoin, we'll have an uninterrupted discussion till the end of the program. It may be interrupted by technical problems, but we won't air any ads after that. So you could log out, log back in. Let's see if it improves anything. All right, folks, we're going into our break early, and don't go away. We'll be right back.
Armored Republic exists to equip free men with tools of liberty to defend God-given rights against the twin threats of tyranny and chaos. If you own a rifle to resist tyrants and criminals, then you should own body armor and a med kit for the same reasons. A rifle stops evil, body armor and a med kit keep you in the fight and preserve your life. Armored Republic is a body of free craftsmen united to create tools of liberty. We are honored to be your armorsmith of choice. Civilian ownership of body armor is about increasing decentralized power and, by comparison, reducing the advantages of centralized power. The danger of centralized power is often represented by the word king. As Americans, we hate the word king applied to any mere man. We are Armored Republic, and in a republic, there is no king but Christ. Arm yourself with tools of liberty at armoredrepublic.com.
It's such a blessing to hear from Iron Sharpens Iron radio listeners from all over the world. Here's Joe Riley, a listener in Ireland, who wants you to know about a guest on the show he really loves hearing interviewed, Dr. Joe Moorcraft.
I'm Joe Riley, a faithful Iron Sharpens Iron radio listener here in Athy in County Kildare, Ireland, going back to 2005. One of my very favorite guests on Iron Sharpens Iron is Dr. Joe Moorcraft. If you've been blessed by Iron Sharpens Iron radio, Dr. Moorcraft and Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, are largely to thank, since they are one of the program's largest financial supporters. Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming is in Forsyth County, a part of the Atlanta metropolitan area. Heritage is a thoroughly biblical church, unwaveringly committed to Westminster standards. And Dr. Joe Moorcraft is the author of an 8-volume commentary on the larger catechism. Heritage is a member of the Hanover Presbytery, built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, and tracing its roots and heritage back to the great Protestant Reformation of the 16th century. Heritage maintains and follows the biblical truth and principles proclaimed by the Reformers: Scripture alone, grace alone, faith alone, Christ alone, and God's glory alone. Their primary goal is the worship of the triune God that continues in eternity. For more details on Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, visit heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. That's heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. Or call 678-954-7831. That's 678-954-7831. If you visit, tell them Joe Riley, an Iron Sharpens Iron radio listener from Athy in County Kildare, Ireland, sent you.
I'm Dr. Tony Costa, Professor of Apologetics and Islam at Toronto Baptist Seminary. I'm thrilled to introduce to you a church where I've been invited to speak and have grown to love, Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, Long Island, New York, pastored by Rich Jensen and Christopher McDowell. It's such a joy to witness and experience fellowship with people of God like the dear saints at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Corum, who have an intensely passionate desire to continue digging deeper and deeper into the unfathomable riches of Christ in His Holy Word, and to enthusiastically proclaim Christ Jesus the King and His doctrines of sovereign grace in Suffolk County, Long Island, and beyond. I hope you also have the privilege of discovering this precious congregation and receive the blessing of being showered by their love, as I have. For more information on Hope Reformed Baptist Church, go to hopereformedli.net. That's hopereformedli.net. Or call 631-696-5711. That's 631-696-5711. Tell the folks at Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Corum, Long Island, New York, that you heard about them from Tony Costa on Iron Sharpens Iron.
Chris Arnzen of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio has had a long-time partnership with our friends at CVBBS, which stands for Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. They specialize in supplying Reformed and Puritan books and Bibles at discount prices that make them affordable for everyone. CVBBS has been a family-owned book service since 1987, operating out of Carlisle, Pennsylvania. They seek to bring you the best available Christian books and Bibles at the best possible prices. And now, they're also shipping worldwide. Browse the pages at ease, shop at your leisure, and purchase with confidence at Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. Order online worldwide at cvbbs.com. That's cvbbs.com. Or you can order by phone at 717-249-0231. That's 717-249-0231. For orders of $50 or more, use promo code IRON for an extra 5% off their already discounted prices. And please, let our friends at CVBBS know that you heard about them on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Dr. Joe Moorcraft, pastor of Heritage Presbyterian Church in Cumming, Georgia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Anthony Uvino, founder of TheReformRookie.com and co-founder of New York Apologetics, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Tim Bushong of Syracuse Baptist Church in Syracuse, Indiana, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Eli Ayala, founder of Revealed Apologetics and staff member with the Historical Bible Society, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Josh Miller of Grace Bible Fellowship Church in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Joe Bianchi, president of Calvary Press Publishing in Greenville, South Carolina, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jake Korn of Switzerland Community Church in Switzerland, Florida, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order. Welcome back. Also, folks, please never forget that this program is paid for in part by the law firm of Buttafuoco & Associates. If you are the victim of a very serious personal injury or medical malpractice anywhere in the United States, call my longtime dear friend Daniel P. Buttafuoco, attorney at law, at 1-800-NOW-HURT, 1-800-NOW-HURT, or visit his website at 1-800-NOW-HURT.com, 1-800-NOWHURT.com. Make sure you tell Daniel P. Buttafuoco, attorney at law, that you heard about his law firm, Buttafuoco & Associates, from Chris Arnzen of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. We're now back with John Otis. John, can you hear me?
Yes, I've been hearing everything. How about now?
Oh, you sound crystal clear now. If you could, just in summary form, you have Anthony from Houston, George's questions and comments. Just summarize a response to him so we can move on right now.
Well, like I said, the way he was taken, having it seemed silent, is a little different than what I intended in the book. So I mentioned to him that we offer the gospel and the promises are held out. That's how I would respond, and I think we probably ought to move on.
Okay, well, thank you, Anthony, and you have won, by virtue of submitting a question, a free copy of When Heaven Seems Silent by our guest, John Otis. Almost said the wrong name there. There is a listener in Findlay, Ohio, named Cindy, who has become priceless to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. She has become such a loyal and faithful encourager and supporter of this broadcast, and I just thank God for her. She has become a precious and dear friend of mine as well, and I just can't say enough about her faithfulness to doing everything that she can do to make sure that this program is heard and appreciated by as many people as possible. Thank you again. But she submitted something that I think perfectly reflects the conversation today from the Johann Sebastian Bach page on Facebook. And it says, this is an article on that Facebook page, "Did you know Johann Sebastian Bach lost his little daughter and then three sons and then his wife? Then he married, then he remarried, and then he and his second wife, Anna Magdalena, lost four more daughters and three sons, 11 beloved children. Many researchers have wondered how Bach managed to handle these losses. How did he not stop breathing? How did his heart not stop? And most importantly, how could he continue to write music, cantatas, cello suites, masses, concerts, the most beautiful music in the world, the most beautiful music the world has heard? Do you know how he did it? At the end of his music, he always wrote, 'Soli Deo Gloria,' glory to God alone. And in the beginning, 'Lord help.' Therefore, you can pray during Bach's music because the music itself is a prayer. You could then consider Bach's music a conversation between man and God. How do you deal with pain? Worship is the best solace." And that was written by Carl Bastian on the Johann Sebastian Bach Facebook page. And by the way, for those of you who don't know, Bach was a faithful Lutheran Christian. Any comments on that? I thought that was a perfect addition to our discussion.
Bach understood that God was the source. And when our Lord chooses to take something precious like that, then he understood that he has a right to do it. Just like Job said, the Lord has given and the Lord can take away. In my book, I got this little quote. John Calvin lost his dear wife. And it's a short statement. It's a wonderful testimony that I have in the book of the last days on the deathbed of Idalette, his wife. But Calvin said this: "May the Lord Jesus Christ support me also under this heavy affliction, which would certainly overcome me, had not he who raises up the prostrate, strengthens the weak, and refreshes the weary, stretched forth his hand from heaven to me. And he wrote, "Thou, O Lord, that bruises me, it is enough for me to know it is thy hand."
Hallelujah. So
what's that?
I said hallelujah.
That's right. They understood that God has a right to take it. And they accepted that. And, you know, another, are you familiar with the hymn, "Ah, Holy Jesus"?
I might, if I heard it. I don't know it, but I don't recognize it by the title.
It's one of my favorite hymns of all time. We'll go into the Johann, I forget who the author is. His testimony, he went through much affliction. And through all the affliction, that great hymn came out of all the afflictions. Physically, affliction, lost all his children, lost his wife, all of this. And he sits down and writes this magnificent hymn. You got to look it up. You can do it online. And if you put in "All Holy Jesus," there's a video of a man telling the story, and then he has a beautiful voice. And the whole hymn reflects our attitude towards affliction.
Yes, and let's not forget about that other hymn writer. I believe it was William Cowper, wasn't it, who lost his children in a shipwreck? Was that William Cowper?
Yes. I don't know if it was Cowper. Yeah, that's another wonderful story. The hymn is "When Peace Like a River," I think, flows. His wife and daughters were traveling to England, and a storm came up, and the children were washed overboard, and she gets there and says, "Only I survived."
Horatio Spafford, I'm sorry, not William.
Yes, Spafford. That's right, Spafford. So when he comes, they knew where the storm, where the ship had the problem, where people lost their lives. And he had the captain, "When you come to the spot where it happened, please wake me up." The captain says, "Sir, we're at the spot." And he writes that magnificent hymn in remembering of that great loss. And he had another losses too. So we have these wonderful testimonies of men who walked with the Lord, and like Job, they understood that God had his purposes. And you see, that's the key. You know, just the other day, the Lord was impressing upon me a passage in Psalm 37, in verse 7. And the first part of the verse says, it talks about rest in him, wait patiently for him. See, one of the things that happens when God brings us afflictions is that we may wonder, what does he have in mind? What is he doing? And this is where the promises of God, chapter 4 in my book, I believe was one of the most crucial parts of the entire book. And I set forth examples of those who live by faith and those who didn't. And I have a saying that I have preached for many years, Chris. And I've told people when I've preached on this, if this is the only thing that you remember, the sermon, then it's worth it. I said, where there is faith, there is no fear. The Bible portrays faith as courage. The world has a misunderstanding, says, well, men that go into battle, they're afraid about dying, but they do it nonetheless. That's not how the Bible presents it. Not how the Old Testament, nor how the New Testament, or Jesus. And I got some personal stories in the book of how God taught me, where there is faith, there is no fear. You know, and the Bible commands us in Philippians 4, 6, and 7, it says, do not be anxious for anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. And then another great passage is in 1 Peter chapter 5, which talks about where to humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your cares or all your anxieties upon him, for he cares for you. I got a personal testimony of how when we're going through things and trials, one of the things that trials does, it causes us to be anxious. It causes us to worry, causes us to be fearful. And when we understand the promises of God, we don't have to be fearful. And one time I was in the process of losing a house and I couldn't stop it, foreclosure. And even though God had taught me years before that wonderful truth about faith. And I remember one night that passage God brought to my mind and I said, Jesus, I am tired of carrying around this bag of worries. And I'm now, like you said, cast it to me because I care for you. I said, Jesus, I'm just giving you the whole works. I'm giving you the whole bag of worries. And I said, I'm not going to worry about it anymore. It's in your court. And you know what happened? The peace of God came over me. Did I still lose the house? Yes. But in losing that house, God opened the door for me to end up going to Texas for a mission work. God had his greater purposes, but I was able to go through that severe trial and have the peace that passes all understanding. And the key is trusting in all his promises. So anybody that gets a free copy of the book or anybody that orders the book, chapter 3 deals with the purpose of afflictions, but chapter 4 deals with trusting in his unfailing promises. And let me say this, you know, Abraham is considered the father of faith, and there's a good reason why he said that. Romans 4, verses 18 through 23 mentions this and says, in hope against hope, he believed that God, that he would be the father of many nations. And as it was said, so shall your seed be. And without becoming weak in faith, he contemplated in his own body as good as dead, seeing that he was 100 years old, and the barrenness of his wife Sarah. He did not waver in unbelief with respect to the promises of God, but gave glory to God, and being fully assured of what he had promised, he was able also to perform. And we know the story there, Chris, is that when he was nearly 100 years old, and God says, I'm going to make you an heir. When he tried to take it in his own hands with Hagar, that didn't work out well. But he says, no, from your own loins it's going to come, Abraham. And he says, I want you to go outside and take a look up the stars, Abraham. And in the desert, I understand that the sky is just unbelievable. He says, your seed is going to be as numerous as these stars. Now, nothing has happened yet. And it says he believed God and it was credited to him for righteousness. And Paul picks up on that in Romans 4. So he did not question the promise of God. And you see, faith, the greatness of faith is seen in Hebrews 11, 1. Paul says, faith, this is a great definition of faith. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for, and the conviction of things not seen. And you see, I don't have to see it. And I make a big point in my book. All that faith needs is a divine promise. That's all it needs. And so, to all my listeners, whatever you're going through, and I mean whatever it is, you can get through it. If you go and you look at all these precious promises and you accept it, says, I believe it. I believe it. And so when God makes that promise, you can count on it.
Hallelujah again. We do have Bobby in Hartsdale, New York, who has a question. Oh, by the way, I forgot to tell Cynthia that you, of course, have also won When Heaven Seems Silent, Trusting in God's Unfailing Promises. And by the way, this is for both Anthony in Houston, Georgia, and for Cynthia. Keep an eye out for a package from Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service, cvbbs.com. They are the ones shipping the book out to you at no charge to us or to you. Bobby in Hartsdale, New York, says, I agree 100% with every single word you're saying. But when it comes to ministering to those in pain, must we not be very careful not to sound like Job's comforters, who often spoke the truth to him, but did so in a heartless way, even if that was not their intention? We can tell people to rejoice and to be of good cheer in the midst of their tragedy and throw Bible verses at them like placards, but this is not the way we deliver the truth of God's promises to those in pain, is it?
Yeah, when people are going through, let's say they've lost someone like I did. My wife, we were married 46 years. And so when you lose someone like that, and having been in the pastoral ministry for many years, oftentimes at first, you go there, you put your arm around them, I love you, and you sit and listen to them, and maybe come back and you let them open up and see how they're answering questions. I don't go in there busting with all of these Bible verses as such. And you didn't have to be sensitive of their loss. And the last part of that question, I was trying to think, there was something else I wanted to say. What was the last thing his question was?
That about we're not supposed to deliver to people that are in pain the truth of God's promises in a flippant way, he was basically saying, that seemed right. in a heartless way, where in reality, instead of comforting people, we're rebuking them, like cheer up.
Well, I know what I remember about Job. Here's the problem with Job. The problem with the three counselors. It is interesting in the scriptures that when his three friends came from a distance, they saw him in all these boils and everything. And it says they threw up dust on them and wept. And it says they went and sat with Job in the ashes for 7 days, saying nothing. But when they did speak, here's where the problem came in. And yes, they had a lot of things that they say about God is true. The great problem with those men was that they assumed that if you're suffering, you had to have done something sinful. And if you read the entire book, you're going to see them just saying, just repent, Job. And they would say something true about God, but they were tired of him, and Job knew he didn't do anything. God said, he says, he is holding fast his integrity. He has not sinned with his mouth. And the problem they ended up with Job is that his counselor, his friends, made everything worse because they made the false theological assumption, and this is what we have to avoid, that if someone is sinning, I mean, if someone is enduring severe affliction, that they must have done something. Well, maybe so, but most of the time it isn't. And the theology that says, oh, you're experiencing these afflictions because of God's judgment. And it got to the point Job couldn't stand it anymore. He says, you guys are worthless. Job said, he knew he was, you know, man of integrity. He says, I want to argue my case with God. And what bothered Job the most was the fact of God seemingly silent. He didn't understand why Job's problem was. He didn't understand why he had to suffer, because he was a righteous man. And he says, bring God before me, and I'll argue my case with him. And so I love it. In chapters 38 through 40, God says, so you want to talk? You want to talk to me, Job? So he shows up in a whirlwind. He says, and God says, who is this before me that speaks into the wind? And for four chapters, he just berates Job over his sovereignty. And to the point that Job in the end says, I put my hand over my mouth. I repent in ashes. And what God said to the friends of Job, he says, you know what? Job was right. You were wrong in how you dealt with Job. And you need to, Job is going to offer sacrifices in your behalf so that your sin will be atoned for. And so that was the main problem with Job's friends. They assumed that he suffered because he was to sin.
Okay, we have Carl in Denton, Texas, and I've been to Denton for a Bible conference, and also have a very dear pastor friend in Denton, who I cherish so much, who ministered to my brother while he was my oldest brother, John, when he was on his deathbed. But anyway, we have Carl in Denton, Texas, who says, you accidentally brought up William Cowper earlier, and by the way, that's how it's pronounced, not Cowper. Yes, I know that, Carl. I just, that was a slip of the tongue. And by the way, there is also Ted in Moundville, Alabama, who emailed me saying I mispronounced it. but he says, you brought up that, accidentally brought up William Cowper. Why don't you have John tell the story of William Cowper, who attempted suicide and was rescued from that act by God and went on to write glorious hymns. You know the full story there about William Cowper?
No, I don't. No, so I'm not in position to help him out there. I'll have to look that up.
I just remember that William Cowper had a buggy driver take him to the River Thames he didn't tell the buggy driver this, but his intention was to drown himself. And that night, a heavy, heavy fog descended from the sky all around where the buggy driver had been riding to the Thames, and he had to stop the buggy after a while because he couldn't see where he was going. And they waited for the fog to lift, and when the fog lifted, the buggy was right in front of Cooper's house. So William Cowper, you know, attributed this obviously to God as a divine act of rescuing him. I know that some folks—
Was he a believer at the time or no?
Well, he was certainly a professing believer, and I believe he was a believer.
Okay.
But I just remember that very fondly, being somebody who battles depression, although I've never, thankfully, contemplated suicide. It's good to know that God has even mightily used someone like Cooper to write glorious hymns of the faith, even though he had contemplated and attempted such a dastardly act. Remember, folks, we can never romanticize suicide. It is an act of murder. It's self-murder, but it is still a vile and selfish act. But by the way, he also wrote the hymn, God Moves in a Mysterious Way, is one of his most famous hymns. But Carl, please give us your mailing address in Denton, Texas, where CVBBS.com, Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service, can mail to you a copy of John Otis's book, When Heaven Seems Silent. And that's no expense to you or to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. And by the way, the pastor in Denton, Texas, Carl, in case you don't have a biblically faithful church home, is Mac Tomlinson. He's my friend who ministered to my brother, and he is pastor of Providence Chapel in Denton, Texas. Well, if you could, John, summarize what you most want etched in the hearts and minds of our listeners today before we go off the air.
All right. To understand that God is the source of all afflictions, and He brings that into our lives for the purpose of drawing us closer to Him, to build Christian character. And when we go through these trials, and when we are trusting in His glorious promises, and we come through it, we can learn to endure. And we can actually have joy. The joy is, well, I can't be happy during this thing. Well, the happiness or the joy is the realization that God is making me into the image of Christ. That is what we should all, as Christians, that is what we should all want, is to be like Jesus. And one of the, Job said this, when He had tested me, I shall come forth as gold. And so when God puts you through some serious afflictions, and when you're trusting those wonderful promises, and He gets them through, it's magnificent. And let me just close with one passage in James 1:12. It says, and blessed is the man who perseveres under trial, and once approved, he shall receive the crown of life that God has promised to all those who love Him.
Hallelujah.
So that's how I'd like to conclude it, Chris.
Well, I know that When Heaven Seems Silent by John Otis is available on Amazon. Do you care to give any other contact information where people can order the book, and also where they could find out more about Triumphant Ministries, your open-air evangelism ministry?
I can't say where you can find out about the ministry that I'm launching. To get the book, to go to Amazon, and you can get the paperback there, and there's a Kindle version. I will say this. Let me just say this in my passing. If anybody wants a free electronic version of the book, I will give that to you free. All you have to do is email me and say, Pastor Otis, I want the electronic copy of your book, and I'll be glad to send out the electronic format to anybody that emails me. And want me to give the email address?
Of course, of course.
J.M. Otis, O-T-I-S, 51, at gmail.com.
Okay, well, thank you so much, John, for being such a delightful guest, as you always are. And I want you all to always remember for the rest of your lives that Jesus Christ is a far greater Savior than you are a sinner.